With every session that I teach, I make this statement. My name is Lee Moss. It's actually Walter Lee Moss Jr. And I am a prophetically motivated teacher. And I stand in this place in awe of God. And there's several things that I don't know how exactly I'm going to get out here, because this one came out a whole lot different than the last one did, and it's very different from me. So I'll just tell you, I'll start like this. I have an admission, a confession. About 8 months ago, 9 months ago, I kicked my spiritual life into neutral. And I'm not proud of it, but that's where it was. And I did it for several reasons, most of them selfish. You see, I'm a young guy. I just turned 66. But, however, I worked for one company for 27 years, and I was planning on riding that way right into retirement, guys. Guess what? The last year that I was there, they changed hands, sent me to a trade show, brought me back, called me in the office and said, "We're going this direction and you're not part of it. See you later." They did give me a month's severance pay for 27 years. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm 64. Who's going to hire me? So I went praying and crying and pushing and shoving, and about 3 weeks later, I got a job. A nice job.
I remember it.
And I worked there overseeing somewhere around 300,000 square feet of warehouse, rearranging that much inventory and trying to keep up with it on a daily basis for almost 3 years, lacking one day, 3 years. And this story, I get to share it. You guys got stories that are even worse than this, I know, okay? But I get to share this one. So anyway, we got into a project, which I didn't have any training on. But at the end of it, they shoved it into my lap and said, "Take care of it." I made a mistake. That mistake cost me that job. Boom. So, I got, to tell you the truth, I got a little ticked at God, y'all. I did. That was my next wave into retirement. So I kicked it into neutral. I said, "Okay, I'm just going to hang right here. I'm not going backward, but I'm certainly not going to push going forward." And then my wife got into a pretty bad accident, was in the hospital for like 11 days. And I had a lot more responsibility around the house than I was used to. So I'm just cruising. So what on earth does that have to do with me standing up here right now? Well, there's a fella in the Bible by the name of Peter. Peter was a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. And he got in that same situation. The guy that he had been working for and following said, "I'm leaving." And he left. He gave a lot of instructions before he left, and that's one of the things that we're going to take off into. But he left. Can you imagine that? So, what did Peter say? He said, "I'm going fishing." Now, here's the kicker about that, and this is one of the things. See, this class is so different because, I'm going to take a sidetrack here. A good teacher is not going to give you all the answers. And I'm not able to give you all the answers, much less give them to you. But a good teacher will put enough salt or enough Paul Harvey, for those of you can remember, to look and to dig and to say, Lord, is there a part in my life that resembles this? And how did he get out of it? So how do I get out of it? And go and dig. So I think I want to start in the book of John. And I think I want us to go, and we're going to review the story of Peter going fishing. Let's see if I can get there right quick, like a bunny rabbit. Here we go. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the Complete Jewish Bible, because it's given, it gives a little different perspective. The language is mostly plainer. So here we go. I'm in John chapter 21. And I'm going to do some translation in my head so that I don't use like Yeshua and Shimon Kepha and Toma. Okay, I'm just gonna read it. A little translation like that. It says, after this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples at Lake Tiberias. And here's how it happened. Simon Peter and Toma were together with Nathanael in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're coming with you. Now I got a question. When we're in neutral, if somebody else has a direction and it doesn't look bad, and we're acquainted with them, we've actually spent a whole lot of time with them, almost like brothers, what's the temptation to just ride along? That's something that we've got to be, that's something we got to be careful about. Not that there's anything wrong with it, right? There's nothing wrong with it. But we got to be careful about the direction that we're riding along with. Okay. And they said, we're coming with you. And they got into the boat, but that night they didn't catch anything. However, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know that it was he. And he said to him, you don't have any fish, do you? And they said, no. And he said to them, throw your net to the starboard and you will catch some. Starboard, for you guys who are not boat people, is to the right. Throw your net to the starboard and you'll catch some. So they threw in their net, and there were so many fish in it they couldn't haul it aboard. And the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And on hearing that it was the Lord, Simon Peter threw on his coat because he was stripped for work, and he plunged into the lake. Don't you sometimes want to be like that? When he found out it was the Lord, he dropped everything that they had just done, left his buddies that had followed him in the first place, and took off after Jesus. Okay. But the other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. And when they stepped ashore, they saw a fire burning with coals and with fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net ashore. Now, it took the other three disciples to pull the net ashore, but it says here that Simon Peter pulled it by himself. You think he had a little inspiration? What is it? Where am I going? Down, out, in, up? Pause for just a moment. Now, how's that?
Oh, yeah, it's just hot. All right, that should help.
He can unheat me. 1 minute, please. Are we good now? Are we good now? Are we good now? We're getting there. I think we're there. And speaking of getting there, I want you guys to hang with me because I know this is a lot of background information. But you got to remember, when you're in neutral, you got to push the clutch in to get back into gear. So here we go. And where were we? Oh, the net was full of fish, and Peter drug it to shore. And it still wasn't torn. And Jesus said to him, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Do you think they felt a little bad right there? Why didn't they ask him, who are you, if they didn't know? Or why didn't they embrace him if they knew who he was? Do you think there was a little conviction in there about that reunion? About where they had been prior to seeing him on the shore? And not just physically, but also mentally, guys. That's what I'm talking about, mentally. See, we're in a new year. We're in a new place. We've never been in this place before. And so, even as the disciples didn't dare ask who he was, I think every new year we need to do a little introspection as to where are we with the Lord. Because, you know, the word says to run to him when we need help. And a lot of times we're like Adam and Eve, especially if something is our fault. We want to hide. We don't want to run to him. But I want us to remember that in the midst of that, what we think we've done wrong, God already knows it. He already knows it. And all we have to do is reconcile back to him. He is, the word says, gracious to forgive our sins, doesn't it? Somewhere in there. And that's a Moss translation. But anyway, let's keep going. So they didn't dare ask him who he was because they knew who it was. And so he took the bread and gave it to him, and he did the same with the fish. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after being raised from the dead. Now, after breakfast, there was some unsettled business with the fisherman. He knew it, and Jesus knew it. And what was that unsettled business? The denial of Christ three times. So what happens when the Lord addresses that denial? He asked him. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I'm your friend. And then he said, feed my lambs. All of a sudden, right there, the fisherman became a shepherd. The fisherman became a shepherd. He asked him a second time, Simon, Peter, do you love me? And he again said, yes, Lord, you know I'm your friend. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. There's two different things there. There's a difference between feeding and shepherding. Feeding is a part of shepherding, but shepherding goes beyond feeding. Shepherding means oversight. Shepherding means protecting, guarding, guiding. Shepherd my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon Peter, are you my friend? And Simon was hurt that he questioned him a third time. Why was he hurt? Anybody. Why was he hurt? Why would you be hurt? Say what? Because you keep questioning my loyalty. He did. He remembered when he denied him three times. He was hurt. He questions his loyalty. He questions his trust. But even in that, he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I'm your friend. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He said, yes, indeed. I tell you, when you were younger and you put your clothes on, you went where you wanted to, but when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And John says that he said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would bring glory to God. No, go.
It just says, when you were young, you tied yourself up. But when you get old, somebody else is going to tie you up and take you to a place you don't want to go. So that, if you understand,
yeah.
The Hebrew, that's an interesting little play on words.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. How many times when we first get a word of the Lord about a change in direction or a new thing, or do we really just embrace it and say, yeah, here I go? Or is it something different, like Moses said, are you sure, Lord? You want me to do that? Ew. I don't like Italian food. I'm going to have to eat snails. But eventually, you see, once having a direction is so many times better than not having a direction. Having a direction keeps, you know, I think some of that, and I'll call it guilt, that they had about not asking Jesus who he was because of that lack of direction, was because of that lack of effort, if you will, into finding out, or to following, and this is the next place that we're going, following the directions that he gave before he left. They were so focused on the giver of the directions that they didn't pay any attention to the directions. You know, you've got those things, guys, the things that you have to put together, whether it's a birdhouse or a kid's toy or something like that, and you see the pieces, and it goes like this and this and this, and you get to looking at the picture, and it's got a picture on it of where everything goes, and you start putting it together, and you get focused on that picture, and you get all the way down to the end, and it doesn't work. But it looks like the picture. Well, it's not holding together because you didn't read part A. You had to put the little nut onto bolt C going through A and B. Is this good? Okay, all right. I hope so. Yes, sir. That's very good. Pruning the tree, pruning the tree so that it bears more fruit. Okay, where are we? Okay, he said they'll take you where you don't want to go. And he said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would bring glory to. to God. That's one thing I pray that happens, that when I die, that my death glorifies God, not man. But that's the whole point. We're here to bring glory to God. Okay. All right. So that's where Peter is. So what happened before he got there? And I've had to go back into the Gospels and read the last chapter of each Gospel. And I still hadn't got it, guys. But I'm going to tell you there's a bunch of stuff that I did get. So let's go back to the first, to Matthew. And we'll go to the last chapter of Matthew. It's easy to get there. It's the one right before Mark. You know, I hadn't pulled my notes up yet. Got the first one that says, fight distraction. Okay, Matthew 28. After Sabbath, the next day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the grave. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were terrified, so terrified at him that they trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was executed on the stake." I love the way that puts that rather than on the cross. Executed on the stake, it makes it even, never mind. "He is not here because he's been raised just as he said. He said, come and look at the place where he lay and then go quickly and tell the disciples he's been raised from the dead and now he's going to Galilee ahead of you and you will see him there." And so they left the tomb quickly, frightened yet filled with joy, and they ran to give the news to his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Shalom." I need to pause there. There's another place where we're going to talk about shalom. Shalom has so much more to it than just peace. And I hope I can find this because I took a picture of it, but I want to read it. About the definition of shalom. And here it is. It's not just peace in the sense of absence of conflict, but completeness, wholeness, well-being, harmony, and prosperity. It's a blessing wishing the recipient full spiritual and physical fulfillment. It's so much more than peace. Full physical and spiritual fulfillment. Okay. So he said to them, "Shalom." And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they fell down in front of him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, and they will see me there." I'm going to skip over the story about what they did to the guards because it's important, but it's not important to where we're going. So I'm going down to verse 16. So the 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they prostrated themselves before him. But some, in this book says, hesitated. I think King James says doubted. Wait a minute. Wait just a doggone minute. You're looking at Jesus. You're looking at Jesus. You saw him yesterday before he went to the cross, and now you're seeing him today starting and how can you doubt? Well, I can tell you how you can doubt. You're a human person. And the enemy has sowed seeds of the knowledge of good and evil in us. And so, how can this be? We've never seen this before. But I had to go Let's see if I got it here, because if not, I've got another really great definition of hesitated. It's not good, y'all. I'm telling you, it's not. I don't know if I wrote it down or not. I didn't, but I've got one a friend gave to me when we were discussing this. Hesitation. It's sort of like, husbands, when your wife says to you, "Do you love me?" and you hesitate. It's not good. Whenever, this is something that I've been convicted of, okay? Whenever the Lord speaks, whatever situation it's in, and you know it's God, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Because whatever it is, in Romans it says, that situation is for your good, my good, and His glory. And we have to change our mindset to be able to throw the dice and say, "God, I'm trusting you that you told me to do this. And if you didn't tell me to do this, I'm trusting you to rescue me out of my fall." Okay, let's keep going. So Jesus came and talked to them, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into disciples, immersing," now here's another, I like this, "immersing them," I love this term, "into the reality of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and remember, I will be with you always, yes, even to the end of the age." Into the reality of the Father. Question. How real is He to me? How real is He to you?
He's growing in me right now, big time. It's a new thing He's doing this year.
It's a new thing. It's a new thing coming. Okay. I'm trying to think about which direction we got to go from here. Okay. We're going to go to Luke, and we're going to go to the same account. You see, all this stuff, all this occurrence, seeing Jesus again, seeing a stone that it took several men to roll, moved back while you're watching it, listening to Him command you to go into all the world. These things had all happened before Peter said, "I'm going fishing." How can you say, "I'm going fishing"? Well, you kick it out of gear. That's what happens. You kick it out of gear. And I'm here to try to help us not to kick it out of gear. Okay. We're going to Luke 24. Here goes. "But the next day, while it was very early, they took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb and found the stone rolled away from the tomb. On entering, they discovered the body of the Lord Jesus was gone. They were standing there, not knowing what to think, when suddenly two men in dazzling bright clothing stood next to them. Terror-stricken, they bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the two men said to them," here's a good one, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's been raised. And remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be executed on a stake as a criminal, but on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told everything to the 11 and to the rest. And the women who told the emissaries these things were Mary Magdalene, John, and Mary, the mother of Jacob, and the others in their circle. But the emissaries did not believe them. In fact, they thought they said what they said was utter nonsense. Yeah.
That kind of is still happens because I think a lot of times, well, because men are wired different, they're check the box.
Yeah.
Do it. Done. And we're just kind of, that's just a little thing.
Yeah.
I think kind of happens anyway.
Yeah. But seriously, These ladies are not strange. I mean, they've been spending time with them for months, some of them years. And they've seen Jesus executed. They went to the grave. They came back and said, he's not here. And they said, you're crazy. Not even a, they didn't hesitate. It doesn't say anything about hesitation there. It just says that it's utter nonsense to them. Okay. Introspection. How many times have I done that? How many times have I done that? Okay. Good gracious. That same day, wait. The emissaries didn't believe it. However, Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw only the burial clothes. We've got more about that in other details. And he went home wondering what happened. That same day, the two of them were going to a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And we know the story of the Emmaus Road. But I thought it was, until I read again the account of the third day and the words that said he would be raised again on the third day. And when we read in here in verse 21, these disciples paid attention to that, and we'd hope he'd be the one to liberate Israel. Besides all that, today is the third day since these things happened. They listened. And then he said to them, you foolish people, I'm in verse 25 now, so unwilling to put your trust in everything that the prophet spoke. Didn't the Messiah have to die like this before entering into his glory? And then starting with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things that could be found throughout the Tanakh concerning himself. We're going to have to stop here in just a minute, and I'm trying to get to the place that we can jump off of next time. But I'm going to have to keep going. Okay, I'm going to skip down to where he, I'm just going to keep going. They approach, they're still walking. And he approached the village where they were going, and he made, if he would go on further, and there's another story in that, but we're going to go past that. But they held him back, saying, stay with us, for it's almost evening and it's getting dark. So he went to stay with them. And as he was reclining at the table, he took the bread, and he made the blessing and broke it and handed it to them. And at that point, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he immediately became invisible to them. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us on the road, opening up the word to us? And they got up at once and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together with their friends, saying, it's true. They believed. The Lord has risen. Simon saw him. Then the two told him what had happened on the road and how he began to become known to them at the breaking of the bread. They were still talking about it when, boom, there he was. That boom, by the way, is an insert that I put in there. And then, boom. There he was standing among them. Startled and terrified, they thought they were seeing a ghost, but he said to them, "Why are you so upset? Why are these doubts welling up within you? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I do." And as for joy, they stood there dumbfounded. He said to them, as they're just kind of oogling, "Hey, you guys got something to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And Jesus said to them, "This is what I meant when I was still with you, and I told you that everything written about me in the Torah, in the prophets, and the Psalms had to be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds so they could understand, telling them, "Here's what it says, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and his name, and in his name, repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to people from all nations, starting with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And now I'm sending forth upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been equipped." I'm gonna read that again. Here's what it says. The Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name, repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to people from all nations, starting with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now I am sending forth upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been equipped with power from above. He led them out, and then raising his hands, he said a blessing over them. And as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they bowed in to worship him. They returned to Jerusalem, overflowing with joy, and they spent their time in the temple courts praising God. Next time, because I'm ahead of the bell, it's going to ring in 1 minute. Next time, we're going to take a look at the last chapter again of John. And then we're going to take a look at the instructions leading up to Pentecost. I hope this has been good, y'all. It's been a stretch for me. But I want to encourage us with this. It's a new year. There's a new thing coming. Things are being done differently. Maybe in the same place, but it's being done differently than we've ever done it before. Let's not hesitate. Let's grasp a hold of the reality of the kingdom of God, reality of the Spirit of God, and move forward in the power of God like never before. I love you guys. Yo. Don't be like Jonah. Don't be like Jonah. God bless you guys. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you cause it to multiply and ruminate within us this week and into the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.